Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share the one with who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized." "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, ma'am. "You brood vipers, you poisonous snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Listen to me, the axe is at the root of the tree. So every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, will be cut down and thrown to the fire." You know, if I was to stand here and say that every Sunday, or anyone, any preacher standing up in this pulpit and say that every Sunday to our congregation, what would you think would happen? No one would turn up the next Sunday. Right? These are really harsh words spoken by John. "You brood vipers, you poisonous snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath yet to come? Listen to me, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear fruit will be thrown to the fire." So I can't imagine myself saying this, and if I did, there will be no one here the following Sunday. Yet, interestingly enough, the gospel tells us that the crowds came to hear this, came to hear John preach, and came also to be baptized by John. And they weren't only the people of Israel who actually came to John. There were also, in the Bible reading, also Roman soldiers among the crowd. So why did these people travel from their hometowns, come into the wilderness, just to hear John preach and be baptized at the River Jordan? Excuse me. You know, John is a people's person. John treats everyone the same. Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you have a status in the society or you don't have a status in the society, whether you're titled or untitled, he treats everyone equal. Because he pays no respect to privileges and influence. He shows no favoritism to anyone in his call to repentance as he spoke the truth. And even in the truth that he spoke of, it cost him his life. It cost him his life. But you know what? John does humble himself. He humbled himself before the people. And as they were questioning about whether John was the Messiah, he says, I'm not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. I'm not worthy. And so when we look at this text during this Advent season, we tend to realize that we are not just preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ. As important as God's incarnation to the faith of the Christian church. But here John's message is about opening our hearts, opening our minds. And the fact that the person of Jesus Christ, God has come among us. God is actually inviting us to become members of his kingdom. So here we have God is acting to redeem us. And when he redeems us, he is redeeming our wrongdoings, our sins that we do every day. And when he redeems us, he is also restoring us to a new life in the relationship with God. And this is the news, this is the good news that people came to hear John proclaim. And this is also the good news for John to us that we need to proclaim today, a message that calls us upon to be honest with ourselves, to take a really good look at ourselves in the mirror and see where our lives lives, in the hope that we may repent of our wrongdoings, so that in order to embrace that kingdom of God that's coming to us with integrity. We are now preparing for Christmas. And the amazement of the incarnation, John reminds us that true glory of God is not revealed in the birth of Christ, but in Christ's fullness to his Father's will. So John calls us to open our hearts, he calls us to open our minds and prepare to receive God's presence among us in the person of his Son. And you know, we ourselves, like the people in the scripture readings, we also cried in the wilderness. What shall we do? What are we going to do? Tell us, John, what are we going to do? What shall we do? And John's simple message for us this morning, do what you know is right. Love other people. Act with justice, act with mercy. Whatever you're doing, whatever you do, do it with love. Do it with care. Do it with a conscience. You know, whatever power that we might have, whatever authority that we might hold, use it for the good of others. You know, John reminds us that our choices, our actions make a difference, not only for ourselves, but it makes a difference for others that we reach out to. No matter how or who we are or where we find ourselves. John, with all his passion, with all his power that he has, he knew that there was one that was coming with more power still. And that power is to restore the broken humanity. And that person yet to come, he has that kind of love that will renew people's minds, will renew people's souls, hearts of those who are growing tired, of those who are growing weary, of those who are in doubt, who are confused, who are angry. Jesus is coming to renew our lives. You know, John was actually the first one who actually pointed to Jesus and said, that is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And that is what we need to do ourselves. We Christians, we need to tell a story about the time that God looked at the world and decided to send his only son to this world, his beloved child, to lead us back to life. His son will show us how to love others in the most divine, to give hope, to guide us in ways of peace. Here is a child of God, born by Mary, was just as vulnerable as any child in the world. But Jesus did nothing more violent than just turning the tables over because of others who are preying on the poor, who are preying on the vulnerable. You know, when John said, I'm not worthy, he's saying that on our behalf. We are also not worthy. The point is not that we are not worthy. The point is that we are loved by God. God's love made manifest in Jesus that frees us, that strengthens us to choose mercy, to choose love, to choose peace, to choose hope again. To claim the life that we've been given as a gift in our hearts and in our souls and in our mind. So we shouldn't be taking the call of John the Baptist lightly. Don't be offended by the fact that we are called brood vipers, for that is what we are. We are all in the need of God's grace. We are all in the need of God's love. We are all in the need of God's hope in order to redeem us from our wrongdoings. John the Baptist, he calls us to prepare for his kingdom, God's kingdom. And most definitely, the Messiah is on the way. And so John has prepared for himself, and he asks also his listeners, is the sake of readiness for the Messiah's coming. And in all of John's encouragements to the crowds and to us, as just a way of helping us to be ready to step into that presence of God, step into that presence of greatness, step into that presence of love and grace without the self-consciousness, without self-centeredness of any misdeeds, of any wrongdoings that actually is clinging onto us on our daily basis, on our daily lives. You know, John says, let go. Get rid of it. Repent. Lay it all down. But we need to take up that new life. That new life worthy of the one whose presence that we seek, of the coming of Jesus in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.